Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
A little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
That's right, it's the Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy Etzel. I've got Tommy here in the studio, fresh from Sydney. How was the flight back, mate?
Very successful flight back this morning on the 737, Rudy, but it was a very successful night last night at the SCG. Great result for the Swans. 4-0. That puts them in a good position as far as making finals is concerned. I know it's early days. And the Bombers, I mean, but for 4 points, obviously the three last night and the one against Hawthorn, they'd be 3-1. So I think they're on the right track.
Yeah, pretty positive signs for the Bombers, really. And again, like Sydney, as you know, has been extensively acknowledged, blown everyone away. Pretty decent stuff all around. Tommy.
I was going to say a couple of news points out of the game, Rudy, last night. I beat you to it. Buddy Franklin was obviously incredible. There'll be some discussion now about how often he plays. I asked John Longmire post-game. They basically explained it's based on his loads during the week and his training loads. And the view was just to get him started slowly. And now they think he's got a bit of momentum and might start playing. They've got a 9-day break, so you'd expect him to play the next round. And Buddy was pretty bullish on that on the ground afterwards as well. He thinks he's got some momentum up now as far as playing some consecutive games. I think he played 92% of game time last night, which is a really positive sign. I would have thought if they were worried about a soft tissue concern or whatever, it would have been substantially lower than that. So wasn't he incredible in the end?
Oh yeah, it was. It couldn't have been anything but Buddy, could it? It was just great theatre. Really, really exciting game.
The Hickey free kick.
Yes, I was going to bring that up.
The AFL this morning, they don't think it's a massive deal. It was obviously ruckmen have been taking the ball out of the ruck for two or threes and have been allowed to do that. They don't see it, I don't think, as similar to the situation out at Geelong a couple of weeks ago. Yep. They will review that game as a matter of course, and we'll get some guidance on that this afternoon. But I know I asked Rutten about it post-game, and he said, oh, I didn't see it. And I know there's been some commentary about that this morning. I think he meant that he hadn't seen the replay. I think he would have seen the actual incident, the Hickey free kick itself. But Essendon's certainly not blaming the umpiring. They think there was various other aspects of the game. Plus, the ball was in the defensive 50, essentially, so it would have been a minor miracle for that to have resulted in a Essendon goal. So Essendon certainly not blaming that incident. There were lots of others. I mean, the Swans were inaccurate in essence. They probably should have won by a lot more, but geez, it was a great atmosphere. Almost 30,000 people there in Sydney yesterday or last night, and it was back page news yesterday, the Swans. So they're flying. Who would have thought?
Yeah, exactly. Who'd have thought? So yeah, a little bit different to the Mark Blixar's one a couple of weeks ago, I think it's fair to say. Let's move on from that, though. Collingwood, Darcy Moore, some news there, Tommy?
Yeah, Darcy pulled out of an interview that we had scheduled with him yesterday, and he didn't train this morning at the Holden Centre, or the Nike Centre, whatever they call it these days. But I've checked with Collingwood sources, and he's A-OK. It's just based on individual training loads, I'm told. So officially, at least, or through my sources, he's not in doubt for tomorrow. But keep a close eye on that this weekend. But I am told he's fully fit.
Yes, indeed. Back to the Essendon side of things. You wanted to chat Zachy Merritt.
Yeah, Zach Merritt, he's on fire last night again. He's one of the most high-profile free agents this season, obviously alongside guys like Marcus Bontempelli and Patrick Cripps. What's interesting is that Cripps and Bontempelli have spoken on their future, saying they're waiting to get, for example, the guidance on the salary cap before they make their decision. Merritt hasn't spoken in recent months on his future. He's not doing interviews at the moment on his future. And I wouldn't say he's actively avoiding them, but he's certainly not courting interviews or not approving any interviews. Now, it's not really a worry from Essendon's perspective just yet. The official position from the Merritt camp is that he's enjoying his footy and he's in no rush to make a decision. But I would say that's got some alarm bells written all over it. I think Essendon would obviously like to do a deal. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if there'll be a lot of interest from clubs like Collingwood at the end of the year. So it's a bit of a watch this space at the moment. He's playing good footy. The best thing Essendon can do to keep him is to keep their culture improving and to keep playing games like last night. So it's not necessarily a concern from their perspective yet, but he isn't doing interviews. He isn't talking on this issue about his future. And I think that's a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, hopefully they keep trending the way they appear to be trending and he stays around. I think it'd be good for footy. Dan Hannabry, he's injured himself again.
Yeah, second calf setback this year. He's played 13 games now in two seasons at the Saints. He's got 2.5 years to go on a contract that's worth up to $750,000 a year. St Kilda knew that he had soft tissue injuries when they put him on this five-year deal. So there's going to be continued scrutiny around that. I'm assured by very well-placed sources connected with the Saints that he is doing everything he can to get his body right. There's no attitude issue. There's no training issue. My personal view is that his body's shot. That's based on evidence over the last couple of years and evidence at Sydney. I hope I'm wrong, but it's a concern from St Kilda's perspective. It's another 3, 4, 5 weeks with his latest calf setback. That's the second calf this year. And it's interesting in the context of him being on such a big deal. But I'm told he's doing everything right off the field.
Mm. Yeah, hopefully he gets back on deck for them soon. He was so good in that final last year, wasn't he?
He's a great player, and he's wonderful to deal with. I think that it would be, to adopt your phrase before, Rudy, the old dipper phrase, it would be good for footy if he was playing. Yeah. I love watching Dan Hannah be playing. St Kilda besieged by injury at the moment, but he just can't get his body right.
Yeah, just cannot get on the deck. And then finally, you wanted to go back up to Sydney for this one. Lachie Whitfield at GWS?
Yeah, spoke to Lachie Whitfield one-on-one yesterday. He didn't train fully yesterday. It was mooted that he might, but he's getting back into gear, if you like, and working up towards playing, I think, in 3, 4, or 5 weeks. He's had a harrowing ordeal with that bruised liver that produced huge amounts of blood. I'll have that interview on 7 News on Sunday night, but a really interesting situation. That could have killed him. I mean, it's an injury that's usually seen in car crashes.
Wow.
The liver was bleeding into his chest when he went to the emergency ward.
How did it happen?
It happened at training, and I've got some vision of behind the goalposts vision of how it happened. So I'll show that on the weekend. But it was in an innocuous incident.
Wow, isn't that scary to think that something innocuous can lead to that?
Absolutely. I think the gash across his liver was 18 centimetres at one point. Oh. That's when he went into hospital. And that's I imagine that's seeping blood. So that's just a scary proposition. But
really scary stuff. Yeah.
On the Giants, I spoke to some people up there yesterday. There's obviously a bit of a push on at the moment for cost of living in Sydney and from the Sydney Swans and also the Giants. They haven't formally submitted that to the AFL. Gil McLachlan was up in Sydney this week. He had a lunch on with the Giants on Wednesday and had other engagements in Sydney on Thursday. And I think what they're basically arguing is they want some more money for their assistant coaches because the footy department cap is set at about, what is it, $6.2 or $6.3 odd million. A lot of those costs are fixed, travel, buses, strapping, all those things. You just have to run in a football department. And they argue the cost of living substantially higher, up to 40% higher in Sydney. And I think the Giants feel it's restricting them from perhaps bringing in some assistance that they'd like. So it's an interesting discussion point. I know it sort of rolls a few people's eyes when Sydney and the Giants want cost of living, but at the same time, it is more expensive up there. And cheaper in Geelong, according to the Sydney chairman. What did he say this week? Andrew Pridmore, I love. He said, not like Geelong, where for $300 a week you can rent an 8-bedroom house.
Yeah,
that's an exaggeration. The market skyrocketed in Geelong.
Maybe slight exaggeration. So basically what you're saying is that they're appealing more for soft cap relief, rather than on the total payer payment stuff.
Correct. That's the area they're pushing for.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, I suppose. I think that's short and sharp on today, Tommy. I reckon that'll just about do us, I think. It's good to see you back in Melbourne. So what's on for the rest of the weekend?
Well, obviously the game's in Adelaide tonight, so I'll be from the studio for my debate pre-game. I think it's with Hodgie and Duck tonight, or Hodgie and JB, so I'll have to go and prepare for that. But at the moment, it's a little bit, me and Hodgie agree on a lot of things, and I need to spice that up a bit, Rudy, so I might get your advice on that later.
Not as exciting as BT last year.
And then Ben Rutten told me last night that he hadn't seen that hickey incident. What I'm going to do today is maybe go to JB Hi-Fi or get a bigger iPhone, because when I go to the press conferences from now on, I'm going to go with the screen and show the coaches these incidents.
It's going to really blow their excuses apart, I think. once again, I think that's just about enough from us. So we'll be back Monday morning to talk all about all of the big things that have come out of the round. So have a wonderful week in footy, everyone, and keep clicking back to Triple M Footy on all your socials.